venerable religious and dear parishioners, about 3 weeks ago, I spoke about the cross, and I would like to do so today again, for we begin the week where we remember how we were bought back on a cross. One of the very inspiring things I've read in regarding one religious order was the Order of Ransom, which was dedicated to purchasing back Catholics who had fallen into slavery to Islam. And these monks would raise money and give it to the Muslims in payment or in ransom for whatever number of slaves they could redeem. And they were basically being saved from a horrible way of living, if not death itself. We're impressed. We're inspired. And some of them went even further. Sometimes those monks even said, "Let me take the place of one of those galley slaves." Can you imagine doing that yourself? Turning yourself over so that somebody could go free and being willing to risk death and, of course, living a horrible life, probably you weren't going to be redeemed yourself. Whenever I read that, I'm so deeply inspired and impressed by somebody that would be willing to do that. But when we think of what happened on a Good Friday many centuries ago, it was the Son of God Himself who said, "I'll take their place. I'll take upon me the sorrows and sufferings and punishment that is due to them. I'll take it upon myself." So what those religious monks did for those galley slaves, Christ did for each one of us and far more. And He did it by dying on the cross. As St. Paul reminded us, it's foolishness. It's a scandal to those that don't believe. It will never make sense. They will mock it. They will make sport of it. They'll ridicule it. And yet, that crucifix is the very greatest act of wisdom of all. It is Almighty God laying Himself down and dying a death to show us how bad sin really is. Remember this, God could have redeemed us with a simple prayer. Jesus could have said one simple prayer, done one simple act, and it would have redeemed all of us because all of His actions are infinite. But would you and I have understood the evil of sin if Jesus had redeemed us so easily? You know, what if a billionaire gave all of his money to redeem you from slavery? Not only that, said, "I want to be tortured and killed." See, that would just begin to give us an idea of what Christ did for us. So we must not forget this, my dear brethren. There is the great wisdom of the cross. That wisdom was not understood on Palm Sunday, because the triumphant King was coming in to take charge of Jerusalem, and the crowds were cheering Him on. It looked like that moment was coming when the Romans would be overthrown. Jesus worked miracles. Why couldn't He just make the Roman legions disappear? Of course He could do that. And many of them, I think, were hoping for something along those lines. But you see, where is the spiritual wisdom in that? And they were to be sorely disappointed. And how many, I wonder just how many of those lips that said Hosanna on Palm Sunday said crucify Him on Good Friday. I'm sure that there were many. Because when they saw what true wisdom was about, the value of suffering and the cross, they wanted none of it. Take Him away. But we certainly don't want to say that to Jesus. We want to say, Jesus, take me. Bring me to Thee. Bring me close to Thy cross. Help me to stand at the cross and to be with Thee and Thy Holy Mother Mary and the holy women and Saint John. That's wisdom. For God works in ways that are not the human ways. How much we as human beings mistake, misunderstand the ways of God. So we must behold Jesus on the cross often throughout life. Kiss His cross. We will have the privilege of doing so with a very large crucifix on Good Friday. To kiss the very symbol of our redemption, of our being bought back. There's a story from the life of St. Bonaventure, who knew St. Thomas Aquinas. And one day on a visit to St. Bonaventure, St. Thomas asked him from what book he derived his great knowledge, and where he had been taught to speak with such holy unction. At the foot of my crucifix, answered St. Bonaventure, pointing at the same time to the crucifix before him. This is my book. Jesus Christ is my master. And that's something that I'm sure St. Thomas Aquinas himself would have said. It is the greatest book that has ever been written. Because it's God in human nature giving His all for His human creatures. For all that would not reject His grace, would not reject His redemption. Unfortunately, there are many that will, and they will perish. But for those who say, I believe that that beaten, broken, torn body on the cross is my Lord and my God, to them, it is the very power of God Himself. Never forget how much power the crucifix gives us in our daily life. There's a story of a monk, of a youth who sought admission to a monastery of austere monks. The youth was frail. The life to which he aspired was severe in the extreme. Doubtfully, the superior looked upon the fragile frame of the ardent aspirant. Surely, he thought within himself, this delicate boy is not aware of the painful burden they must carry who follow our rule. So he decided to test him. Come, he said, I will show you where your future home will be and give you a glimpse of this life. Together they passed along the dim corridors. The silence of the grave was about them. The superior opened a door. This, he said, in a very low voice, is the cell of one of the monks. The rest are the same. Yours will be like it. It was very small. The floor was bare, the walls without ornament. There was a single small window, a wooden stool without a back, and a crude table for writing. And then a frame with a few rough boards and a single coarse blanket. That is your monk's bed. Then they went to the refectory, a place which the youth saw at a glance was for fasting, not for feasting. We have but two meals a day, said the superior. Our fare is scanty and simplest. No meat is ever on our table. Then the superior led the way to the outside cloister from which the broad fields of the monastery farm could be viewed. Clad in their heavy habits, the monks were silently toiling under the scorching sun. So the superior turned to the young man. It says, our life, you see, is austere. Prayer and penance and toil fill our days. We rise at midnight to chant the office and are up again with the sun to begin the day's labor. Our life is spent in reparation for the sins of the world. It is hard, very hard. Do you think you are equal to a life so severe? The youth was thoughtfully silent a moment. Then he said simply, Father, tell me, will there be a crucifix in my cell? Oh, yes, indeed, replied the superior. Each cell has its crucifix. It is the monk's sole treasure. Then replied the boy with deep conviction, then I can stand it. I'll stay. I think we're all going to face temptations just being traditional Catholics to take the easier way, to go along with the majority, to follow the more popular version of Catholicism, the version of Vatican II, which of course we know is wrong. But the temptation will be there. Come join us. Look at our crowds. And our answer needs to be, my dear brethren, no, I am going to stand at the foot of the cross. And that, my dear brethren, by way of reminder, is the whole problem with the new Mass, with the new version. They've gotten rid of the crucifix. When that comes back, we'll know it's real Catholicism. We preach Christ crucified, says St. Paul. And for those that want no part with Jesus crucified, then no, we do not join them. We know where salvation is to be found. It wasn't found or wasn't fulfilled on Palm Sunday in triumph and glory. It was fulfilled by dying. And Jesus won his greatest victory. As the preface for Passiontide says, the devil thought, actually I'm paraphrasing it quite a bit here. What it's saying is the devil thought he was defeating our Lord, but our Lord was defeating him. Again, God's ways are not our ways. The divine paradox. So remember, the crucifix, the cross, is our strength. One day, hopefully, if when we're in danger of death, the priest will be giving us extreme unction to help us. The first thing he will do is present the crucifix to you. And how will you kiss Jesus on the cross when you are dying or in danger of dying? You will kiss him with love then if you often kiss him with love and venerate that crucifix in life. I leave you with these words. If you would like to love God, look at the crucifix. If you hope for eternal happiness, look at the crucifix. If you wonder how much God loves you, look at the crucifix. If you wonder how much God wants you in heaven, look at the crucifix. If you wonder how God tries to prevent you from the yawning jaws of hell, look at the crucifix. If you wonder how much God will help you to save your immortal soul, look at the crucifix. If you wonder how much your faith demands of you in humility, poverty, charity, meekness, and every virtue, look at the crucifix. If you want to know what unselfishness and generosity are, look at the crucifix. If you want to understand the need for self-denial, look at the crucifix. If you wish to live well, look at the crucifix. If you wish to die well, look at the crucifix. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.